Praise God. So, we're going to go back into Hebrews chapter 12, just as a refresher right here on these two verses. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. See, I'd always been told you fall from the grace of God when you sin. But as I'm discovering more and more, falling from grace has nothing to do with just what we call sin. It's a little deeper, but yet it's so simple. Lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. That is our jumping off point. Now we're going to jump over here to Hebrews chapter 3. This is a little long, so bear with me. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says today, I love these verses that say today. Because as you're reading them, what are you reading? Today. Even though David is the one who penned this initially. King David. That is profound, folks. That today we can read that, and we're reading today. And the Holy Spirit that brought this about through David, through the writer of Hebrews, is also saying today. If you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Why do you think they didn't know God's ways? They didn't want to know God. They saw thunder and lightning, fire, smoke. They did not want to know God. How can you know somebody until you know their ways? We didn't really know each other until we finally came together and lived together. And then we're both just like, huh? But that is what happens with a married couple. You two become one. Fortunately for her, I'm not a person who is ever allowed to just leave my underwear laying around on the floor. So I did not do that. I had to clean my own room and had to do my own laundry for a long time up to that point. Then after I turned her cream sweater pink, I was no longer allowed to do laundry. But we really got to know each other's ways. And by knowing each other's ways, we know how each other thinks on those things and other things. That's out of character for that person. They did not take the time to know the character of God. So I swore in my wrath. I heard John Jacob say one time, the saddest scripture in the Bible, and it was referencing Samson, it said, and the Holy Spirit departed from him, and he knew it not. I think this might be the second one. This one should be scary. So I swore in my wrath. Folks, in God's wrath, he opened up the floodgates of the earth. Science backs Genesis. They just don't want to throw the timeline in right. They don't want to acknowledge that all this cataclysmic stuff happened. Boom, boom, boom. Mountains weren't as tall as they were now, which is pretty awesome. And you think Mount Everest keeps growing a little bit because India keeps pushing, because it's not attached to anything. So I swore my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Yeah, I better stop right there. Keep going. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. What is your confidence? It's your faith. Oh, but I don't know that Jesus Christ is the only way. Told you this before, and I'll tell you again. Every false religion on the planet says we are a way. Jesus was the only one who said, I am the way. I am the only way. And they all acknowledge that Jesus is one of the ways. But see, their way does not lead to the same place. It doesn't take them to God. Folks, we should be at peace. We should find peace, even as the Buddhists seek peace. Pursue peace with all people, right? We should pursue holiness. Not to defile our bodies, not to defile our minds. We should pursue all of this stuff as well. But knowing that Jesus Christ is the only answer. It's not in Islam. It is not in Sikhism. It is not in Hinduism. It is not in any of these other things. It is only through Jesus Christ. But we have to hold fast our faith from when we said, yes, Lord. There's a guy who I have listened to his music for years. And he wrote, I'm like, man, this guy has got to be spirit-filled. I mean, he is just bam, 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 putting this on there. Woo, doggy. Thank you, Jesus. And I mean, the music encouraged me. Some of you would say, you call that music? But I do. It's music to my ears. But as he kept getting longer and longer in the tooth, and he started getting a little too big for his britches, he started thinking, hey, man, maybe there's a universal theme through all of them. Maybe we're all going to end up the same place. The reason that the TV series Lost was called Lost, because if you watched it in the end, everybody ended up the same place. Their hope is lost. There is no real hope outside of Jesus Christ. We call them the lost. And because people waver, well, you know, maybe Jesus isn't the only way. Why isn't Jesus the only one they're trying to stop in schools, stop in our government? Well, it's because of Christians. It ain't got nothing to do with Christianity. They've been trying this stuff for years. They even have finally gotten around to working it. I mean, there's still some of us old school people. BCE, right? Before Common Era. Not before Christ. And then CE, Common Era. We're in CE, according to the godless. And I won't say what the Latin, ominous. Yeah, what he said. And it means after death, right? Year of our Lord. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you. Because I got it in my head. It was after death. But in the year of our Lord, we're 2,024 years in the year of our Lord, but the world doesn't want that. The world wants you to think, well, it's common era. No, it's not. You're trying to take Jesus Christ out of everything. He's being kicked out of the churches. Oh, don't talk about the blood. We don't want to offend anybody. We're covered in the blood, folks. Thank you, Jesus, for that blood. So we have to hold fast our confession of faith. We have to stand firm in our faith to the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? These are the people who were being beaten. They were being abused. They had watched children being murdered. Some of them had actually even witnessed Moses being exiled. They witnessed Moses stepping down from a prince of Egypt to be a slave. He went out in the wilderness himself. came back and he led those ungrateful people away from bondage. You take people away from their bondage and they will blame you. But I need my drug. I need my alcohol. I need this. I need the attention from men or from women. That's just some of them. I need all of this. See, ladies and gentlemen, that's when we start crossing lines. I need you to tell me I'm fabulous all the time. Well, you're not fabulous all the time. So we get hooked up on things. And God led them out of that bondage. He said, take them 3 days out. Tell Pharaoh this. I'm going to take them 3 days out and let them worship the Lord. They're going to worship God. They didn't worship God, folks. They really didn't know too much about him. Only a few of the elders knew the name I Am. And so Moses took them out. And they wander around for 3 days aimlessly, or so they thought. We'll get into that in a second. Now, with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Folks, I can't tell you how many times, I don't care what you're believing for, you had better believe it. Can you believe? The greatest sense of humility, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. The man threw himself on the mercy of God. He admitted that he was a failure. But he believed in Jesus. That's why he was there, right? That's why you're here today. You believe in Jesus, the Son of the living God, the Savior of the entire world, who is now seated at the right hand of God, waiting for orders to come back. I don't have a bunch of stuff to make me feel good about what I believe. I got a few books in Revelations, a few cryptic prophecies here and there, and this is what's going to happen, and got 10 million people telling me what's going to happen, and all of them got a little different version, and it's like, I really don't care. I'm kind of like Simon, the old guy that said, Lord, please let my eyes see the redemption of the world. He was an old man, but he said, I have seen the redemption. I can die now. I have my beliefs. I may have to hold in pretty good, but I may not. Don't know, don't care. Why? Because my faith is the same now as it was when I said, Lord, do something with me. Take me. And if there's anything you can use, use it. My faith hasn't wavered one bit. As a matter of fact, it has gotten stronger. Why? Because I have seen God do these things. He took somebody who didn't like people. Said, you're going to be a pastor. Are you kidding me? He did that. He said, now, the people you thought that were going to help you out in this, they're going to turn their back on you. Some of them are even going to stab you in that back. That's after hindsight now. Yep, that's exactly what happened. Folks, unbelief will kill you. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. It's referencing the same thing we just read in 12, to fall short, to fall from grace. But here he used the example of the children of Israel going into the promised land. God has made us a promise. We have to believe it. God will work with us in our faith, will he not? Yes, he absolutely will. You just take a step. Another step. And another step. And then another step. Start a church, Art? No! No. I don't want to. I've heard from my pastors what happens. Well, that's fine. And it has happened. I'm still standing. Why? Because I'm too dumb to quit. But God said, you started. Well, I don't know how to, Lord. And he said, go to Pastor Dosek. I don't know Pastor Dosek. That's okay. Go. I went. Pastor Dosek, you don't know me, but I live in Mount Gilead, and God has told me to start a church. Well, praise God, brother. But he said, come to you to help. He looked at me. He said, I don't do that. But God told me that he was sending me two young men who were going to start churches. And I was not to turn them away. All it took was obedience to drive 100 miles. Well, you know, this is all because, yes, it is. But you need to understand, Pastor Dosek did not have any influence into my life. If I had a question, I had to usually go through 10 doors to get to his answering machine. I mean, he's busy. Man traveled a lot. But nonetheless, it's kind of like Moses saying, Lord, I stutter, Lord. Okay. Use Aaron. Right? Who did the majority of the talking? Moses. But God gave me somebody. And he ordained me. He's the one who ordained me. But he didn't say, now come sit at my feet here and I'm going to teach you. We're going to do a test and all this. He said, you know what? I'm really not for sure what to do here, but there's the wolves. If you're still standing in a year, I'll ordain you. That's exactly what he said. Not verbatim, but he's like, go out and prove yourself. The year comes up. I get a call. Hey, you got some names of people that do not attend your, you know, we need some names of people who do attend your church, names of people who do not attend your church. Okay, so I gave him the names. And then he even said it when at the ordination service. He said, we called all those people. I don't know if anybody in here got the call. But he said, and we called people in the community that you do not know. What do you mean you called people I don't know? They don't love me like these people do. But you know what he told them? He said he has an excellent reputation. And it wasn't because I'm such a good person. It was just because I obeyed God. Pastor Dosek wanted me to get financing to buy a building. We tried. We tried to do everything. God said, that's not what I told you to do. Trust me. Ladies and gentlemen, I set the I set the terms of the loan or the land contract. The percentage rate, no money down. I did that. God used me. And even the first building we got, I mean, they're turning it into a health department thing now. Would have been nice if it looked like that back then. But it did not. It had a milk factory making soy milk. And actually, right there's one of the only other employees that ever worked there. Trisha and her sister worked there, and they were the only employees ever. And it didn't last long. But God had that man build that. He had a little office space in the back. We just need a place to grow, because Pastor said to get it out of my living room. And I was like, yes and amen. Let's get it somewhere else. And so I went to a local realtor here in town, and I said, we want to rent that, because it was her sign out front. We want to rent space in the back. Well, she said, how much are you willing to pay? I said, $400 a month. She looked at me and said, he is not going to go for that. Was it that day or the next day? I think it, within that hour, she calls me back and said, Art, I don't believe this, but he accepted it. We moved in. God kept moving us, kept challenging us, kept asking us to do something, to trust him. And we really got trusted at the end of that first month, because we just got our pretty sign out and, you know, did all that. It was pretty. As a matter of fact, it was the one that was sitting out here for a long time. End of that month, he comes to me and says, Art, I hate to do this. He said, but somebody wants the entire building. 6,000 square feet. He says, unless you can match what I can rent it to him for. I'm like, oh man. I said, there's no way. And that was our lease. I was just trusting God. He said, but here's what I'll do for you. I'll rent you space on my side. The front half. I'll rent you space over there, and I will cut the rent in half. I cannot tell you, folks, how giddy I was. God moved, because I'd always wanted the front half. Always wanted that. Now, those of you that were there, you remember, well, it's there. It was a factory. Had a 20-foot by 20-foot refrigerator right next to the stage. And he cut the rent in half and considered the rent that we had paid previously as our down payment and the first 2 months' rent. It had drawbacks, but we grew because we kept trusting God. We kept obeying God. We did not doubt God. Now, doubting God is one thing. Sometimes questioning God, are you sure? About me? That was my thing. I'm like, me? Seriously? I know me. I wouldn't pick me. Looking back, I think God knew what he was doing. 23 years later. And people were waiting for us to bomb out in the first 6 weeks. Ladies and gentlemen, falling short of the grace of God is unbelief. Falling from grace is unbelief. Unbelief is sin. Doubt. Why? Those children of Israel, they left Israel wealthy. They had everything they'd ever worked for taken from them. When Joseph was alive, they were top notch, right? After he died, the Pharaoh rose up that didn't know him, blah, da, 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 da. We know the story. Hey, there's too many of these Israelites. They, these Hebrew, they could rise up and take us out. Let's start killing them off. All male children now will be killed. God says, gotcha. Watch what I'm going to do. Oh, by the way, I'm going to hold you in contempt for the murder of those babies. My final slap in your face is going to be the firstborn of everything in the land of Egypt will die. That included cattle, folks, sheep, dogs, royalty, slave, everybody. Israel saw that. Israel went through all of the changes or the plagues that they saw happening. They saw them, but the land of Goshen was not touched. The land of Goshen was not dark. It didn't have the blood in the water. It didn't have, and it wasn't just a, they say it was probably a red algae that makes the water smell putrid and is undrinkable. And sometimes it gets in Lake Erie too. So if you ever see the warnings up about the red algae bloom, that's, but I don't know, maybe God did find a bunch of blood that was just laying around somewhere and poured it into water. I don't know. What I have noticed is God uses the natural things on this planet a lot. He uses the wind, he uses earthquakes. He knows when everything's going to happen. But he uses them. Well, that don't sound very supernatural. Seriously? The dude knows when something's going to happen. And he gets things out of, gets people out of the way. Anyhow, they come through. They're over, they follow all those little wadis. That's what they're called over there. Up this way, just the other side of the river, they're called hollers. They followed the path, and they get to this point, and the Pharaoh's behind them, the sea's in front of them. And what do the elders of Israel do? Moses, what did you do? Was there not enough graves in Egypt? You brought us out here to die. They're going to kill us. Did you not just see God move 10 times on your behalf? Do you seriously think he brought you out here to kill you? Because that's what they thought. Come on, Moses. This is all your fault. Can you imagine being Moses? How many times that man stood between them and God? I do believe Moses probably was the most humble man other than Jesus Christ. Because personally, I might have just, get him, Lord. So what's God do? He tells Moses, it's time to have a staff meeting. Stretch your staff out over the waters. And he did. And the water, the wind, the east wind blew until the water on each side was standing up. And the ground was dry. And as long as Moses stood there, that water was held up. And they went on dry ground. They didn't think anything of, man, they're just, hey, let's go. Let's beat feet. They forgot that 5 minutes ago they were telling Moses he was a murderer. But they didn't trust this God. Folks, thousands of feet. I can show you on a map where they crossed. And it's not speculation like the Hellenists say that Mount Sinai is in the Sinai Peninsula. That's not the Sinai. That was Hellenistic teaching. The Mount Sinai is in Saudi Arabia, and it's black. It's the only black mountain out of all the mountains. Oh, by the way, there's 12 big piles of rocks at the base of it, all the way around. And the Saudi government has it fenced off and guarded so that pilgrims can't go there and worship the true God. But back over here in the Gulf of Aqaba, which is part of the Red Sea, on either side of this ledge are chariots, swords, helmets, horse hooves. How do you think they got there? Because when Moses pulled that staff back, that water came crashing down on millions of gallons of water. They were probably dead from the sheer concussion of the water hitting them. They saw what he did on the mountain. They saw everything God did, but yet they said, we're not going in. Moses, we're hungry. We ran out of food. week ago. How are you going to feed us? Moses went to the Lord. Lord, they're mutiny again. God told Moses, every morning when they get up, there will be manna on the ground. And they're to take a bowl for just enough for them and their family. And they're to collect that manna every day. But only enough for the day. God knows mankind. He said, only for that day. Why? Because tomorrow the provision's there again. And the day after that. But some of them didn't trust him. And they gathered it up. And God said, it will turn to worms. Yeah, that makes you want to come back and eat it again. Then they said, we're tired of bread, Moses. We're tired of the bread. We need some meat. God said, I'm going to send quail in. And they're only going to fly about knee high. Now, if you've ever hunted any kind of bird like that, pheasants, grouse, quail, they don't fly knee high. What they do is they go like a rocket. All of our fighter jets are designed off of the wings of birds that can do that. It's not by accident that God created their wings in particular ways. And so these birds usually take off straight up. And once they get up to a certain height, they can level out and fly. But God made them fly knee high, so all they had to do was donk. Every day, new meat, fresh meat. We're out of water. This water's poison. Yep, we'll fix that. God provided for them, and then they get to the point, oh, we can see the land. Look, it's so green. It's so lush. Unlike our grounds right now. It was wonderful. Let's send people in to see what it's really like. One, that's not God. God didn't say, hey, I need you to send a recon mission in. But God made sure that there was two on his side in that. And the 10 came back and said, oh, no, we can't do this. They believed the report of 10 people. But the man Joshua, the man Caleb, these weren't little boys. They were approximately 20 years old. They went in and they came back with grapes that I can't imagine. It's like the bundles were huge. They said it truly does. Now, obviously, milk does not just flow down the streams. If so, that means your cows need to be milked. It's talking about the wealth. The honey was just oozing out of trees because of the bees. So let's stop and think about the crops, ladies and gentlemen. You've got a bee population that healthy. The crops were good. And they saw how great it was, but they also saw what it did for the men who ate off of that food. It made them big. It made them formidable. And they said, oh, but we are but grasshoppers. And Joshua said, yeah, so what? We can take them. Why? Because Joshua was a man of faith. And he had been there with Moses. He had attached himself to Moses. That's why God made him the new ruler. But they refused to enter in because of that doubt. Let me read what that word. The word to fall short. Come short. It means to come late, be behind, to fail, to be found wanting, in need, and to come up short. There's a phrase I remember from a childhood. Some of you may know it. Meeny, meeny, tekel, a farson. Anybody know? Does it sound familiar to anybody? A couple of you do. You're weighed in the balance and found wanting. It's what Daniel had to tell to a king. You've been judged by God and you're found wanting. And by the way, I may not have said that correct. I do not speak ancient Hebrew or whatever language that was. That's interpretation from the first book of art. But somebody knew what I said, so I'm cool. You've been wanting. You're short. You come up just, you go to the bank to pay your car payment. I'm sorry, but you are $10 short. Can't you float me? No. That is not the legal terms of your loan agreement. You are going to get hit with a late fee. But I can't afford the full payment, let alone the late fee on top of the payment. Right? That's what that means. It means you got to a point to trust God and you couldn't do it. You just couldn't go for it. You had seen God move. You had seen God provide. Folks, these people that died and they dropped into wilderness those 40 years, God still blessed them. They still got fed. They still got water. They still got, their clothes didn't wear out. Their shoes didn't wear out. Today we claim we're so smart we can't develop a pair of shoes that stay comfortable and don't wear out in 6 months. But yet God prevented any harm coming to them. So upon hearing this, the children of Israel go, oh no, 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 no. We don't want to walk around for 40 more years. We'll go get our stuff and we'll come back. And they got all this, we're going to go in and we're going to defeat them. God said, you better stop them right now, Moses, because if they go in, I'm not with them. Judgment had been passed. They had been weighed in the balance and found wanting. After time, after time, after time, after time. And he now had to deal with them. Now, on that, let me state something that I said last week about training. In the beginning, you start dealing with everybody. And as people start coming up, they start matching your expectations. You always got one or two stragglers. People that all coaches messing around. Then you have to deal with that person. Just as any pastor has to deal with an individual. Any drill instructor has to deal with an individual. The downside to doing any kind of training like this, we have people that says, no, you need to let everybody play. You need to make sure that everybody you're training through this recruit depot, you need X amount of people going through or you fail. I had guys I know, they did not belong in the Marine Corps. They didn't belong in any branch of the military. And finally, the Marine Corps quit taking the criminals. But God said enough is enough. And he dealt with them. Anybody that was under the age of 20 got to go. They were a young group when they finally got to go in. Why? Oh, my children. That was their number one complaint. But our children. Don't you ever throw your children up in front of God as a reason why you can't do what he said to do. Because I'm here to tell you, God knows you got those kids. I had two when we started this. Got three now. And then my family has grown. God knows that. My children never went hungry. They never went without clothes. As a matter of fact, when it did seem like, we don't have enough to, I wanted to go buy them these. I always wanted the best for my kids, right? So did you. I want the best for them. I wanted them to have real Carhartts, not walls. They're not the same. Huge difference in quality, trust me. But I wanted them to have all this, but I couldn't make enough money right at that time. So you know what God did? We had to trust him. God put somebody in her sister's life who had kids that were just a step above mine, who they had lots of money to spend on Carhartts for kids. And anybody's ever gone and bought that, like, you can buy Carhartts for adults, same price. But they were outgrowing their Carhartts. My kids were getting jackets, bibs, real Carhartts. My desire. But God made sure that that my children were taken care of. Why? Because I didn't sit around. Why? Well, God, what about my kids? You know, maybe I'll do this. No, I had knew enough that if God tells you to do something, you do what you're supposed to do. The Marine Corps drilled that into me. And because I did, my children never lacked. Well, it doesn't seem like they always had the best of everything. I mean, look at your vehicles. Look at their vehicles. My children had to learn to trust God too. And I wouldn't ask God to give them an F-350 Super Duty with a 7.3 diesel to a kid who's just learning to drive. But God blessed him. He's blessed all my kids. God will bless your kids. He will move in your life. Almost 15 years ago, yeah, it was 15 years ago, we had taken on a pledge to provide for a little girl in El Salvador. And she was 3 years old, just a few months younger than Justin. We didn't have a daughter, said we're going to provide for her. She graduated this year. What a joy to be able to do that. But we dedicated, when we started giving, said we dedicated that seed for our children. Out of obedience, Lord, we will provide for her some food, some clothing, prayer cover, encouragement as a seed for our children. My children are well. Natalie graduated this year. And as we were praying, we were like, well, we really hadn't got to talk about it. I get a thing that said, this is your next kid. Marcelita. 10 years old. And we are now sowing into Marcelita's life. God, food, clothing, medicine, encouragement, and prayer cover for our grandkids. See, ladies and gentlemen, it's about being obedient. And it has gone up. It has gone up quite a bit. Well, I don't know how they can't do it cheaper. You figure out how to eat cheaper and let me know. But what I'm telling you is when God tells you to do something, don't throw up your children in his face. My kids can't eat. Your kids can eat. Well, I need this. I need that. And God says, I know you need that. I knew you needed that. I just need you to trust me. Will you trust God? Or are you going to fall from grace? Because grace is the power to overcome. And without God's grace, they couldn't overcome all that Egypt had done to them. Without grace in your life, you won't overcome what bondage did to you for years. Hatred. Violence. Abuse. Whatever it was. Religion. Without God's grace, and I don't want to fall from it, because it is truly an amazing grace. Just as I told you last week, charis, which is the word we translate for grace, really means rejoice, but it's a favor done for us, something we cannot repay. Oh, but Lord, I'm going to try to repay you back. If somebody gives you something, don't say, I'll pay you back if they're giving it to you. God will pay them back. Do you think you're that much more powerful than God? Because maybe they don't need cash. They need something else. Maybe they didn't need that set of tires. Or maybe you don't need a set of tires, but God told you to buy a set for somebody. And if you're doing it now, God bless you. Because you know they're not cheap. So it will be a step. Whatever it is, Usually that step is scary. But God knows it. Let's stand. When we enter into God's will for our life, folks, there's the peace. Let the peace of God reign. That's why that song's written the way it is. Let the peace of God reign. I have total peace. We had total peace once we wrapped our minds around it of moving back to Ohio. I had a job where they wanted to make me the supervisor, and I was the youngest one on the team, just to keep me. God was blessing us. And God says, now I need you to move back to Ohio. 6 months pregnant. Yay. This is going to be fun. I have to get rid of my hot rod S10. It had a V8 in it. It's okay. I'll take my truck now over that one any day. Doesn't smoke like that one did. But God has been faithful. God has been good. I need you to move into this house. Lord, that house needs burned. As my father-in-law has eloquently put it in many years about certain things, it needs a coat of fire. And that house needed it. God moved us as we were obedient and stepped out in faith and trusted him. It's all he's ever wanted was your faith and trust in him. Things are always scary. Yeah. It's scary sending your kid to the military. But with God, he gets stationed on a dry docked aircraft carrier with no aircraft. And Dad says, hallelujah. Because his first orders were to an amphibious assault ship with 5,000 Marines on it that deployed to the Black Sea. You just got to trust him. If you're one of those people that keep pulling your kids out of God's hands, knock it off. You're not helping them. Because I'm going to tell you right now, we've watched Jesse grow so much in his faith. He's matured as a young man. And when he does come back to us, he's going to be the man we always knew he could be. Sometimes you got to put that bread out on the water, and when it comes back, it'll be blessed. Don't use anything. Don't use your family and say, God, I can't obey you because of my family. Abraham was told to leave his family. Now look. We are considered descendants of Abraham. Then I will. And God said, every time you go out and you see the dust, every time you go out and you see the stars, that will be as your descendants. And now, because of through Jesus Christ and what he did, we are considered descendants of Abraham. All because he said, leave home. Just telling you, God's faithful. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you that you are faithful. You are always faithful. Lord, I pray for those who are struggling to obey you. Father, those who are struggling to take the step to listen to you. Father, And if the devil's screaming in their face, we bind that in Jesus' name. Lord, bring their focus into what your Holy Spirit is telling them. Lord God, I speak from experience. You have never failed. You have always led me, even when you have led me through the valley of the shadow of death. You were always there. And Father, because my faith was in you, we came through the other side. Now, Father, cause your word to come alive in each and every believer. Move in their lives, Father God. Bless them. Father, I thank you for your people. I pray that you move wonderfully, amazingly, gloriously in their lives. Father, moving mountains, opening doors that the enemy has shut and things set in their way, in Jesus' name. Amen.